Hello, this is Jean Carriger, President of Capstone Marketing. I am excited to be talking today with Hitendra Patil, who is the Head of Customer Success at Accountants World and the author of Client Accounting Services, The Definitive Success Guide, which was published by CPA Trendlines. Hitendra is also the author of Accountinor, the Entrepreneurial Accountant, and has been named one of the 100 most influential people in accounting for the past 5 years. Hitendra, welcome to the Capstone Conversation.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you for having me, and thank you for those kind words to introduce me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, they're well earned, right? Mm-hmm. So the crux of our Capstone Conversation today is all about client accounting services, and I've heard a lot of different definitions and different acronyms around this. So tell us how you define client accounting services.
Yeah, I too have heard so many versions of it. It can really become confusing. But for me, it's a pretty simple definition. If your client does not do accounting, that's you're doing the accounting. So that's client accounting. So, you know, don't confuse here in terms of, you know, what is meant by accounting, because people have different perceptions to that. Entering transactions in an accounting software is not really accounting. That's just doing business processes, you know, for example, issuing a bill or entering an invoice and things like that, right? So that is not really accounting. If your client claims that they do the accounting, that's not client accounting. If you're doing, for example, post-facto write-up work, you get bank statements, credit card statements, you enter something, create financial statements, that's not client accounting really. So client accounting is where you, the professional accountant, really takes over the reins of the way the professional accounting should be done, so that the client benefits from your intellect, your experience, your education from an accounting standpoint. Technology, anybody can operate really now.
Right, so it's not the process that you're talking about. It's what you do with the information gained from that process to help the client.
Exactly right. It's the outcome of everything that you do, because that has to make a difference to your client. For example, today, if let's say you're not doing client accounting, that's what you think, and tomorrow you start doing it, what is it that the client will get differently? What is the client going to do with that difference? That's where everything goes ultimately, and we'll cover that in our discussion as we go along.
Right, I'm sure. So why do you think that client accounting services is so big right now? Because even just touching upon what you just said, I know that there are a lot of accountants out there saying, yeah, we do client accounting services, mm-hmm. and they really don't, you know, by this definition. So why is it hot? So hot right now.
Yeah, it's a bit of a history of the profession and the technology together to some extent that needs to be seen to really, you know, get a grasp of this, why this has become such a popular thing in recent times. And if you just go back maybe 10 years and you saw mostly desktop softwares, you know, accounting softwares, purely desktop. So business owners, typical small business owners, and which constitutes probably 90% of the accountant's clientele, mm-hmm. would keep that software at their office and try and do some things in that software. For example, the same thing, the bills, the invoices, those I call the business transactions. So essentially, an accounting software, or an intended accounting software, to put it really correctly, was used as a business process or ERP kind of a software, like a very micro mini ERP for a small business. And then the business owners would either give that software copy to the accountant, or the accountant would go to their offices, look at the things and correct certain things. For example, an expense that was entered as an expense should have been an asset purchase, really. So, which means it can be depreciated over a longer period of time, and hence it can have tax implications and things like that. So the accountant's brain was used at a later stage after transactions were getting created. But now, with the internet coming in, the word cloud emerging, Most of the database is going on the cloud, which means the integrations are much more easily possible. That's why you see, you know, several different softwares coming in the market, right, from bill payment to credit card processing to whatnot. And everything is possible to be integrated with each other because of the cloud. And which means what happens is the data that was locked inside those desktop softwares, those are getting totally liberated or freed up for an immediate sense-making purpose. And that's where things are going. So today, if you're on the cloud, the accountant and the client can literally use the same software at the same time. And accountant can literally oversee what's happening in a business on a day-to-day basis if they wish to, or if they are paid for it, of course.
Right. The cloud changes everything, right?
Yeah. It changes everything. Essentially, as I say, it's a freedom from the location of the data so that an expert can guide the business owner at the right time, not like after 3 months after the transactions are over. They can easily say, hey, look, your inventory is increasing and your sales are not really growing that fast. Why are you accumulating inventory? It's going to be a problem for you, you know. Those kinds of insights you can easily give right then and there, you know, if you're collaborating on the cloud. And many businesses have noticed this shift. If you look at, you know, the younger generation going to the cloud directly without knowing there was a desktop software, really, they're fully aware that, look, you know, somebody can look at my data in the middle of the night and make sure everything is right. So the more they see that, the more they are inclined to give that work to the accountant. Let the professional do the professional's work. And let me focus on doing my business, especially in the pandemic, 2 years plus now. Everybody has to focus on their own craft. You can't be spending time on admin stuff, you know, and accounting stuff and things like that. That's not your business, as, for example, restaurant owner. I would rather make sure my restaurant is doing well than to make sure my accounting data is accurate. Let that be done by professionals. It's easily possible now, you know.
Right. So this, your explanation is fascinating to me, even though, you know, I don't want to call it basic, but what hit me was that over this trend, you know, this time period you're talking about, it has enabled the accountant to stop completely reporting history of a business in a time when it may be too late to actually do anything about it, to the accountant being able to be more proactive and helping the business owners look forward.
Exactly. You hit the nail on its head, Gene. It's in one of the podcasts I did. I still remember those two sentences. Look, as in CAS, technically as an accountant, you will still be working somewhat on the past to glean some lessons from it. But more and more, you will be working with the customer or the client in today and in the future. And that's where CAS is very different from a traditional accounting services firm. You know?
Right. And it's requiring accountants to really use their interpersonal skills and communication skills in addition to their technical knowledge. Because let's face it, you know, accountants and CPAs, they're really smart people.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me, good that you said that. I had a client, he was a CPA, 19, 20 years in practice, high-end, high-net-worth client in San Diego. And he told me once at his office when I visited, he says, after 18 years in business, I realized that financial statements is the accountant's responsibility. Business owners don't really care unless you show them something that hurts or that is pleasing. So I got to tell them, here is this financial statement. I'm keeping it as an accountant, but here is what you should know from this. I think that summarizes a lot, because if you don't explain, if you don't have those interpersonal skills to be in front of the client or on the phone or on Zoom, wherever you are, and be able to relate to what the business owner has as goals, aspirations, fears, and how do you, you know, collate that data with accounting, what it shows you in terms of insights, and that's when, you know, you really be becoming successful in client accounting services.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So let's talk about the factors that need to be in place for a CPA firm to really grow a client accounting service practice.
Yeah, this is another good question, Jean. Most firms that I used to talk to, even today, feel that you change the technology and you should be good to go with CAS. But that's just one piece of the puzzle. Essentially, as I said, from what you've been doing till now, today, let's say you have 50 clients, 100 clients on accounting, and tomorrow you go and say, hey, I'm going to be giving you client accounting services, and hence your bill changes from X dollars to 1.5 X dollars. So the customer is going to just look at you blank and what changed, right? So you got to make sure that whatever you're going to offer, the customer will be able to make out the difference. Oh, this is what I'm getting now that I was not getting before. Now, that's a big hurdle in terms of how the client accounting services pitch is to be made. But it's also simpler to some extent if you're already doing higher end work for some of your clients, not all, then you pick that thing, apply that to the clients that you feel are a good fit for client accounting services, and show them, look, you've been getting only this, but here is the piece of my brain and insight and education and expertise that you've not been getting, and I feel you should be getting this. Take a look at this sample. And that's when you show side by side. That's the contrast principle in marketing. I'm sure you know that. That's when people make out that difference. So you got to have your processes in place internally first. Make sure your team is on board as to why do we want to go towards that. Sometimes it can be difficult actually for some people who've been in the profession for long enough, and work equals more or less input equal to output standard processes. It can be very difficult to change, and even fearsome in terms of, oh, I don't want to talk to the client. That's not my my game. I remember one of my clients again in Cincinnati, Ohio. 10 years in a row, he was the best accountant in the city. And I gave that accountant your book pre-publication to him. Hey, can you give me your opinion? Don't have to read everything. Just go through. And Pat comes the reply, look, I'm a numbers guy. Don't tell me to use words. Tell me what you want me to do with this book. So that can become a habit. And that's when, it becomes a bit of a challenge, possibly psychologically, but it's easy to overcome. And lots of people have done it. And it's not like, you're going to be the first one in the world to do that. So that's another thing. So your team to be on board, your processes to be changed, your delivery of outcomes needs to be different. And of course, you got to use technology to make things easier, faster, and things like that. For example, simplest of the things like integrations, automations, pure bank feeds in accounting, those can minimize the manual work by even 75% of what you're doing if you're doing steps manually. So that releases a lot of time for you, and a lot of efficiency gains, of course, a lot of cost reduction, of course. So all those things you need to have in place before you even pitch it to even existing clients.
Right. Now, I would think, and I know I've got all these questions to ask you, and we're trying to cover client accounting services in a finite amount of time. Mm. It seems to me that this effort, like any effort within an accounting firm, particularly one that requires the amount of change that creating and executing a CAS practice needs, that a firm needs the champion or the person that's going to lead this effort and rally everybody around it.
Oh, absolutely. That's my favorite part of the whole CAS game. If you have a CAS champ on your team, that's the basic requirement, fundamental. Because without that, nothing moves really far. Because then it dissipates. Because many firms would have things like, okay, this person at my firm will handle X number of clients. So it's all distributed. So to establish a common practice in a distributed mechanism is always challenging in any business. Mm-hmm. So CAS champ has to be absolutely convinced that this is the way to go forward. This is why it will be useful for our firm. This is how we are going to attract better class of clients and hence make more revenue, more profit per client, because we are offering better insights that can drive the businesses.
Oh, we've got you frozen there for a second. Okay, hold on.
In your firm, and you see different experiences, then you're able to collate them really quickly and make sure the patterns and trends are noticed very quickly, and you adjust as you go along your processes, your technology, even your outputs to your clients.
Right. And I would think that the opportunity for a firm to offer more challenging services to their clients would help with both attracting employees to the firm and keeping them.
Oh, yes, that's a side effect, or a good side effect, I would say. Yes, it does happen. I have seen those things happening in many, many firms. Typical standard, you know, complaints or challenges faced by the firm owners. Hey, look, you know, I got this staff, I trained them so much, and now they left. And especially with the smaller firms, this is a bigger challenge, because essentially every human being wants to progress, expand. And within a smaller firm, when you do routine work and you don't get the chances to really grow in your career, you're going to look for different challenging opportunities. But at the same time, the routine also kind of makes you, you know, bored. As they say, you know, do you use hands or do you use your head to do your work? Of course, you need to use both when you're doing on computers. Yeah. But if you're predominantly using hands, you're going to be disillusioned pretty quickly. Right. So it does help. Some people really love that interaction and ability to apply mind on solving problems that the customers may not even notice. Right. So that is definitely an exciting kind of a work platform that you can give, you know.
Right. Now, we've touched upon this a little bit already, the skills that are needed to implement a CAS practice. You know, we've touched a little bit upon, you know, communication skills and, you know, really being able to translate what the financial information means to the client. Mm-hmm. Are there other skills that need to be in place for CPAs to be successful in client accounting services?
I think one of the simplest thing to do is if you're producing an outcome and delivering it to a client, if you were that client, what would you gain out of it, or what would you look for into that output that you gave? So, you know, switching in terms of your view from a CPA or a firm view to a client view, it's a practice that you need to do literally. And then you kind of figure out. And the simplest ways to do that is just note down all the questions that you're getting from your larger clients. You see what they're asking. And obviously the smaller clients may not be asking those questions because they really don't use that kind of input from you. And in that case, why are they asking that question? So obviously they're asking those questions because they cannot figure that out from your outputs. So those kinds of mindsets, those kinds of practices on a day-to-day basis can really help you grow to that, you know, CAS expertise level. And it's just a matter of a few months, really. And if you really do that very well, you'll find that. Even at my end, I tend to note down the basic questions that the customers ask in terms of, you know, what were they thinking when they switched the software, for example. There's always some kind of objective, fear, whatever it is. And sometimes,
right. What did they want to accomplish? You know, right? Why did they do that?
Yeah, they don't even know the possibilities with what you're offering. And it's our job to tell them, look, you know, my 17 other clients are doing this for this particular reason. Is that something that you know, feels good for you? And many times, oh, you can do that?
That's right. A lot of us forget that we really have to tell clients, you know, what we're capable of offering them, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. So tell me, what is the biggest mistake that you see firms make when they're creating or implementing their CAS practice?
I think there are two. One is thinking that CAS is just a natural expansion of what you're doing. And hence, you know, packaging certain things and pricing certain things in a certain way. And this is what we will do. This is what we will advise. And then thinking that clients will really feel that, yes, there is value in it. It's not as easy as that. Right. Okay, the value is always perceived, not what is you think what you're delivering. So that's another challenge that I see. Many times the firms simply go by, you know, let's look at other CAS firms. What are they doing? Let's find out the patterns and, you know, let's design our CAS offering based on that. It's not as simple as that. Anybody could copy that, right? But that's one mistake. The second is making sure that the clients are actually experiencing the value every time you're delivering an output or a result of your CaaS services. You cannot just simply email them, here are the results. Even if you're applying a lot of mind, finding insights, writing them down, communication delivered is never communication received. So in that case, having to go back to the clients and making sure they're at least giving you 15, 20 minutes, and that generally expands to 1.5 hours, I've seen that, you know. But those discussions are critically important, at least in the beginning, let's say 3 to 6 months after the client comes on board with CaaS. And after that, the client kind of figures out, yeah, this is what I should be looking for, and this is what the accountant is capable of telling me.
Right. And you've mentioned a couple of times, because this is also touching on pricing, and I know that's a chapter in a book, of course, because that's part of the, you know, how you do business, right? And it's even more important for the client to understand the value of what they're getting from client accounting services, as opposed to the CPA telling them what they're going to get. The CPA really needs to get that buy-in on behalf of the client in order for, I would think, in order for it to really be collaborative and to work.
Absolutely. Pricing is just the final step, really speaking. And that is very hard for a client to really understand. And I try to tell the accountants that deal with me or interact with me is relate that pricing to the decisions made by the business owners are not made. For example, look, you know, for us to be able to apply Mind on your business trends, we obviously need an expert time, and that's why we need different pricing for CaaS. But here is what happens when you don't buy CaaS services. Here are the types of decisions that we see business owners make as mistakes, and they cost businesses on an average X dollars in terms of lost revenue or lost profit or whatever. Or we say, okay, look, you're making this decision correctly, and hence you must expand in that kind of an activity. For example, what is the customer's product or services segment that is really doing well and profitability is higher in that? So where should their marketing effort go? Those are the things you can actually derive from the accounting databases and insights. But if you don't communicate that as a business decision criteria help, it's hard for the business owner to really relate to only financial statements or even the insights from the financial statements. You need to connect it with their decision making. And that's another thing. Decisions are greater than the destiny, right? So that's where you go back and relate those pricing in terms of, with this pricing, we'll be able to give you that advice that will help you make better, faster, solid decisions, you know.
So tell me, what is the best way to market CaaS services? Now, do you encourage firms to start with their existing clients or new clients or a combination? You know, what's working in marketing a practice like this?
Yeah, purely from an efficiency point of view, I always recommend that you start with your existing clients, simply because you have the existing relationships going. They're willing to hear you out. You have their time slots available all through the year. To some extent, you know, you can just pick up the phone and talk to them. Versus, you know, marketing to prospects, you're obviously, those are cold calling kinds of things, and you don't even know the customer or a prospect. So you hone your skills on how to pitch the CaaS benefits based on what you do with your clients. And even within your client list, you will find, you know, maybe 1/3 of your clients are a good fit for your CaaS services because of growth trends, their volume and things like that. And they're the ones who will be able to see the value very quickly. And once you tell and they ask you 17 different questions, and then they say, no, I don't like it, I don't see any value, then you know that you have a value proposition problem on your hand. So why go with the prospects and spend so much money in getting the prospect in the door just to deliver not so good value proposition? And that's when you go first to your clients. And again, going to your clients, pitching them something, also means you got to deliver on that promise. So you're trying to tell the client that, look, you're in land A, I'm going to take you to land B at this extra cost or extra effort. So did you really make the client feel that he's landed in land B? If not, you're going to be in trouble. So
right.
2, 3 months, 6 months, it could be anything depending upon your speed as to when do the clients start seeing the value if they first and foremost accept there is going to be a you know, bigger value in CAS.
Right.
And then you take and expand that into your marketing mechanism to tell that to the prospects. Generally, you know, speaking, again, the same thing, you know, if you noted your clients' words easily, put them in the marketing mix, your marketing content, somewhere somebody will say, oh, that's me. That's exactly what the problem that I'm thinking that I have. So let me talk to this accountant. That helps.
Right. Yeah. Using testimonials would be a great marketing tool just to share those experiences that you're having with other clients. Right.
Exactly.
There's a million questions, but let me just ask you one more for today. Mm-hmm. And the book covers a lot of information. Hold it up. Hold it up, Tendra. That's right. There it is, folks. Okay. So nice and bright.
It's pretty heavy. Okay.
It is a heavy book. And I understand it's also now produced with a ring binding. So that.
Yeah, the workbook format. Yeah. We got a lot of requests that they were dog earing things and they wanted to note down certain things and things like that. We did provide a little margin, extra margin to note down, but that was not enough. So it got produced in the workbook format now.
And that book, let me give it a plug. It can be purchased at CPA Trendlines. That's our buddy Rick Telberg, right, Tendra?
Yep,
CPATrendlines.com and just Google it and it's there. And it covers a ton of information. And as we just mentioned, it now comes in a workbook format. So you really can just, you know, get, you know, down to it. With that format, one of the points that you mention in the book is the communication challenge of client accounting services. And we may have touched upon that a little bit already, but just tell me a bit more about what you mean by that communication challenge.
Right. So internally itself, you know, everybody needs to be on board, your partners, your staff. If they don't see the value and they can't communicate it exactly in the same way as everybody else would within the firm, that's your first challenge. It always starts internally. And even to the partners, they can easily say, we lived without CAS for years. So why now? What makes a difference? Where is the proof point and things like that? Those can come up. And those are valid points. Why would anybody want to change what's a good revenue and profit generating mechanism? You don't want to touch that, right?
It's worked this for decades, right?
Yeah,
right? Why do anything different?
Right, exactly. It's risk. Okay, so that's one. Two, the staff, you know, they may not be comfortable dealing with clients because you may not have exposed them to client interactions. Somebody who's never spoken to a client or maybe once in a while, they will have these nightmares of how do I hold myself when the client calls and meets me? And if I say something wrong and the client goes away, who's going to be responsible? So you got to train them up in those client conversations. I recommend what I call the shadow method. Every time as a partner, you go on a client call, have your CAS person on that call, fly on the walls, don't speak anything, just listen to what it is, and then ask, okay, next 10 minutes, just note down what you heard and what were the key things. And if they can start writing that down very quickly, and this happens pretty quickly though, like, you know, a few meetings and they'll be able to know what exactly were the value points that were getting discussed. Mm-hmm. And then they know, oh, this is simple. I can do that. That's the
you're
next
building up their they're building up their confidence.
Yes, absolutely. You have to follow that practice. If you just tell them, okay, here is what you talk to the clients, here are 17 checklist points, that's not going to it doesn't work like that, right?
No, so then, that doesn't sound like very much fun, neither does it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So
Tendra, thank you for all of this information today. Again, the book is Client Accounting Services, The Definitive Success Guide. We've been talking to Hitendra Patil, the book's author and head of customer success at Accountants World. This has been fascinating. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jean, for having me. And I hope I could share a little bit within the limited time. But again, there's a ton of material out there, articles out there. Book is, of course, there. And I'm here on LinkedIn as well. So whatever time permits me during my day, I tend to reply to a lot of queries incoming to the best of my ability. Yeah.
That sounds great. All right. Wonderful. Have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. And have a great success or greater success in 2022.
Thank you.
Thank you.